We're talking next about an exhibition which will be opening this evening over at the Empty Quarter Fine Art Gallery at the DIFC Gate. It's called This Is Not a Love Song, and it features six emerging photographers and one common denominator, the current state of Palestine. Well, I'm joined in the studio by one of the featured photographers, Steve Sabella. Born in Jerusalem, he's now based in London and, in fact, has been exploring notions of imagined cities, hyper-relativities and the relationship of the unconscious mind with reality. Good afternoon to you, Stephen Sabella, and welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. We're also joined by Omar Donya, who is the co-founder of Contemporary Practices Art Journal, and in fact who's featured the work of Steve Sabella on the cover of the latest edition. Good afternoon, Omar.
Yeah, how are you?
Very good. We'll get some more details about this journal, which is a great focus on contemporary Middle Eastern art. But it's also a journal, isn't it? It was founded in 2007.
Exactly.
It was published mainly in London, really. As we were talking just off air briefly, you sort of feel that that's where the central hub is for you to be. But you've... Which I think is interesting and perhaps testament to the evolving and the very much maturing art market, that you are finding yourself here a lot more now in the Middle East, in particular in Dubai. So welcome, Omar. We will get some more details about the journal a little bit later on. But I would like to first go back to Steve, who, as I mentioned, will be showing his work this evening in This Is Not a Love Song, which was really it was conceptualized by the founder of the art gallery, Ellie Domit. How did Ellie approach you, and what were some of your first thoughts when he came to you with this theme?
I think Ellie was interested in what I've been doing in the last years, especially with my project Jerusalem in Exile, where I come, as you said, from Jerusalem, but I grew up in the city, realizing that I feel out of place until like 2002, Kemal Bolata, who is the author of Palestinian Art, he wrote an article about my work. He said, even though Sabella lives in his own city of birth, he lives like an artist in exile. I was curious about that. I mean, it sounded fascinating. Why should I live out of place in my own city of birth? And then I realized why. I was not physically in exile. It had to be with mental exile. Mm. And the only reason I could find it was that Jerusalem itself has been exiled. And theoretically thinking, all those who live in that exiled city must feel out of place and live in alienation. So probably Eli, was intrigued by this thought. And later on, I wanted to give a form how it feels to be out of place. So I created this work called Now In Exile, mm-hmm. which is the state of mind of how it is to live in permanent mental exile.
But now you left Jerusalem, didn't you? And I believe you're now living in London. Do you feel even more exiled now, or not? Because I'm presuming this was a choice of yours because you studied there as well. Has those feelings, depleted somewhat?
Yeah. Probably the worst city on earth to go live when you feel out of place is London. I mean, it really killed me. It's so hybrid, the architecture, the whole atmosphere in London. And it heightened my senses of alienation to an extreme point. And this one, it created the In Exile. Exactly in that my first year in London in 2007 and 8. So, yes, to answer your question, London was a killer city for me, and it still is.
And yet it was a place where you produced your work, so...
Probably out of agony, you know, good things come.
Why was it so tough?
Because I was suffering, like, you know, to discover that Jerusalem, which is a city you should love, it's where you're, you know, you grow up and you have your family and friends, or you think you have friends or you have family. And then you realize it no more exists, it's somewhere else, and it will never come back. And I'm just like...
Do you mean the Jerusalem that is in your dream, or the reality
dream.
Of what you would like it to be? Or?
This is the thing. That's why I'm saying Jerusalem does not exist anymore. And I'm following the theory of many philosophers and theorists like Jean Baudrillard, who said the world has been transformed into its own image. And definitely this is what has happened to Jerusalem. It has been transformed into an image. And now Palestinians and Israelis are living into the image of their own city. And then it made me think, are we just now fighting over an image of a place? I mean, is it really worth it? Of course, Jerusalem on the ground is very important. But given that one side, especially the Israeli side, wants to enforce a certain ideology on the image of Jerusalem, and that ideology I refuse to live in it. That's why the whole place just got out of control, and I could not live in that place anymore.
So it's become more, do you feel that, you know, you say the word Jerusalem, and instantly, I'm sure many images will come to people's mind, and I'm sure a lot of them will be quite similar. Do you think it's become more of a, as you said, a self-constructed, media-constructed, politically, socially constructed, as opposed to actually what it really is? Oh,
definitely. I think you just said the right thing. Jerusalem is a constructed image, and Jerusalem in exile back then, it started with asking Palestinians from all over the world to send their mental image of Jerusalem. And my job was to deconstruct that mental image, which is text-based, and transform it or liberate it to a photographic image. And I was trying to rebuild a new Jerusalem, which actually is based in the minds of Palestinians globally. But let's face it, I mean, the mental image is fiction. I mean, it's not reflecting a truth. It's only a truth to the person that holds that mental image. So I'm not. So I was trying to liberate the city in a different way, to liberate the city in the imagination, because on the ground, it's impossible. I mean, we have now the separation wall that's dissecting Jerusalem all over. And who am I to liberate Jerusalem physically? So I wanted to liberate it at least in the imagination.
So you are liberating the city as opposed, the city's the protagonist as opposed to, or is it your feelings about the city? So you're liberating yourself through your work.
Probably, I think this is, yeah, it's a good good way to think about it. And I was asked this in Paris last time, and I had to answer. I have, you know, we live in mental occupation. Forget the physical occupation. I grew up in an occupied city, and it is suffering. And I think it takes me years to cleanse myself from the mental dictatorship and occupation that exists in my brain. So I've been trying through my art, as you say, to liberate my brain. And it's not an easy journey. And as you can see, probably some people have access to the magazine, some of my artworks, especially maybe one of them called Exit, which I did in 2006, when I immediately realized that Jerusalem no more exists. I photographed elderly hands, and if you look at the hand, you can feel it's a form of an exilic landscape full of agony, and this is mirrored the new landscape I'm living in. Until now, when I created In Exile, which is a state of mind of how it is to live in this alienation.
What's interesting, I think, about the exhibition is, as I mentioned, it's actually featuring six, you're one of six emerging photographers and already successful photographers who are all have got their roots somehow or other in various different incredible stories, actually. Everyone has got their own very unique story to tell. But the link is Palestine. But what I think has come out and what I was reading about the exhibition as well, and I think this may have been said by Ellie because it was in the press release, that it was about not really understanding the exact situation of what is happening. And everybody has got their different view and their different ideas and their different ways that they think that Palestine will possibly resolve its issues. And have you found that as well? Have you found that it's hard to sort of to feel connected to a country and a peoples who have so many different ideas and opinions? That sort of perpetuated this sense of being exiled, not only from a country, but also from your people?
Well, I mean, if I may call myself an artist, I immediately place myself out of the circle, out of the social construct of society, and I try to critique my immediate space, and definitely I critique myself. And I think it's necessary to have, in any society, artists who always critique social systems, political systems, and constructed systems. And I think Ellie chose a very good choice of artists, and each artist works in his or her medium. And as he writes in the thing, what connects him is Palestine and the agony of understanding. And it's not a simple thing to understand what's happening in Palestine, even though it's all over the media. And probably artists are best to have a different look at the political situation, because they go deep into the psyche and try to analyze the ground.
And I think the exhibition itself, because it's got only six artists, but it is it's almost kind of like a reflection of the fact that there are so many different opinions. The exhibition in itself is sort of a mirror of what is happening because of the different ideas. But I'd like to ask you what you think of the title. What does it mean to you, This Is Not a Love Song? How do you translate that?
I think when I got the invitation, This Is Not a Love Song, like, this is not, it's not going to be something you're going to like, or it's not something you're going to, in the sense, probably the way I understand it, aesthetically simple. It's aesthetically charged, probably what Eli wants to say. I'm going to show works that they might have some aesthetics, but they are very coded. And we need to decode, you know, these artworks in a different way. It's not only about looking and enjoying the art, which is, okay, nice for the art sake, but there's much more than that. That's what he wants to say. And it goes deep into the essence of what it means to be a Palestinian, or the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, etc.
But do you think these images can fully explain that, or is it?
Well, we only try. I mean, we are not gods.
We're going to take a quick breather. We'll come back. I've got more questions for Steve Sabella about his work, and we'll also have a chat with Omar. Good afternoon. I'm joined by Steve Sabella, who will be showing his work alongside five other photographers at the Empty Quarter this evening in an exhibition entitled This Is Not a Love Song. Steve, would you go back to Palestine?
Go back where? I mean, as I mentioned, it doesn't. I mean, if Jerusalem doesn't exist,
but
probably Palestine doesn't
exist.
Yes, but no, don't get me politically wrong. I'm not saying that Palestine doesn't exist. Of course it exists and it should be there. I'm 100% for the Palestinian cause. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just looking, I'm trying to deconstruct what it means to belong somewhere. I mean, this is necessary in any culture. And the more I create, the more I photograph or create art, I realize more that cities or countries are construct of the brain or the imagination. I have my own country. I have my own city, and it's in my brain. I have my own Jerusalem. I don't necessarily have to believe in that Jerusalem that exists today, which is one of the ugliest it has become today. So I try to build my own Jerusalem, which is beautiful to me, and my own country.
But what about if people say, well, you left. I mean, you left us. You left the country.
I think the country left me, just to correct you.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying this is perhaps what people may be asking you. Yeah. You know, you're Palestinian, but you live in London, and yet you're making work which makes political statements or your own statements about a city which you, some may argue, abandoned. But yet you still say that you're very much for the Palestinian cause.
100%. I didn't abandon. Actually, it's the opposite. I mean, probably if critic wants to read my art, you will find that Jerusalem is at the center, at the core of my creation. So I don't think it's true that I abandoned the Jerusalem. It's actually I just took the concept of Jerusalem and took it one step further.
But you physically, as opposed to in reality.
Well, what's reality? As I said, reality is an image.
Oh, we don't have time to go into that rather philosophical discussion. How do you feel that your work could perhaps carry those themes and those ideas and concepts out to a wider audience?
Definitely. I think that's an excellent question. So given that I have shown my work in many places in Europe, I noticed, especially for this one I'm going to show tonight, because of its abstract nature somehow, people tend to project their own psyche when they look at the work. And surprisingly, they identify themselves with the work, because many people today live in alienation and they no more have a place to go back to. Like, their place of origin is a question mark. They don't belong to the original place or to the new place. They feel somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. And probably Dubai is my first time here. I just landed a few hours ago. It's probably one of these places where you don't feel you are here or there. And people definitely look at the work and they feel their own life is mirrored in the work, because alienation is the new world syndrome. So I think this work transcends its locality, which is, okay, the context is important about Jerusalem and me, but it's not necessary at all when you look at the work to know what did the artist want or what's his background, etc. Because I think it's self-evident when you look at the work and you see clearly what the artist wanted to say.
Well, so what would be the opposite of being exiled? Would that be being at home? And if that is the case, where would that be? If it's a reality in the physical world, or if it would be an imagined place for you?
Yeah, probably it's more imagined. It's virtual. I said once, I think we're in a process of transition. Now it's agonizing that we feel like we have nostalgia towards home because we're more mobile. We are moving more. But probably 100, 200 years, we'll feel less nationalistic, less belonging to a home, to a place, because it'll be all over the planet and hopefully all over the galaxy and go to my planet, which is called Mentalopia. So you can visit it there once. So, yeah, probably in 200 years, people will have less feelings of towards home and what it means. So probably now our job as artists is just to give people the notion or to question where we belong. To who do we belong, you know? Do we belong to our own society, to our own religion, to our own construct, political regime or whatever? I think probably the most important thing in life is just to question and not just take things the way they are. Mm. Otherwise, we become machines, and I refuse to be a machine.
Thank you very much. Certainly intriguing, I'm sure, for listeners to now take a look at your work, which, of course, they can do this evening over at the Empty Quarter Gallery in the DIFC Gate Village. Steve also has a website. Perhaps you'd like to give your website out to listeners.
It's very easy. SteveSabella.com. Double L.
Double L, yes. Steve, thank you. I wish you all the very
best. Thank you very much.
With the exhibition. And enjoy your time in Dubai.
Thank you.
Very briefly, Omar. Omar is also with us. We haven't had a chance to talk too much, but with you, Omar Donya, who's the co-founder of Contemporary Practices Art Journal, whose work of Steve features in this journal. Omar, interestingly, as I'd mentioned, that you're spending more and more time in this part of the world as opposed to the UK. Is this reflective of the market here at the moment?
Well, the art business is... in general is concentrated in New York and London. That's a fact of life that we have to live with it. But in the Middle Eastern, there is a new hub that is coming. Previously, in the last two, three decades, it's been Cairo and Beirut. Mm. But this has been changing in the last few years. In Dubai, in the commercial side, more of the commercial galleries reaching certain recognition. And also, of course, the strong movement in Abu Dhabi and the Saadiyat Island, Guggenheim, Louvre, and so on and so forth. So it was a natural selection that I have to be moving the art business. The art business as a business has to be here. Mm-hmm. Still, I maintain very strong legs in England. Our company or our journal, it's a non-for-profit journal. It's incorporated in UK. It's still there. We still do a lot of operation there. But, of course, we print here in Dubai for the local market. We distribute here in Dubai.
Right.
But our focus main is we're not for profit, as I said, and our focus is to promote the Middle Eastern movement, Middle East, Iran, and Turkey.
What's your distribution?
In terms of figure, we're around 5,000 now.
5,000, and that's internationally, or is it
we have mass distribution in Cairo and in Beirut. We just recently decided, and we already managed with one of the distributors to start mass distribution in Dubai, but in the UAE, I mean. But generally speaking, we are go to very selective people. We are in museums, we're in the MoMA in New York, we're in the Tate Modern in London, and so on and so forth.
Right. Well, it's a beautiful journal, I must say. I had a chance to look through it just briefly during the break with fantastic features. It's also, as you mentioned, it's academic, so it'll be written from an academic point of view. But I mean, for a non sort of a lay person, as opposed to some perhaps not so much.